David Clarke has had a hugely successful career as a blind footballer, playing internationally for England, then into finance and becoming RNIB's Chief Operating Officer. But now he's on the move again. David, you can't keep a good man down.
You're too kind. Yeah, I'm going to be leaving the organisation on the 10th of March to take up a new role as the Chief Executive Officer at the British Paralympic Association. It's been a huge honour and privilege to work at RNIB, and some of the work we've managed to get done over the last 5 years together, staff, volunteers and the wider community, has been great through some really, really challenging times. And so there's no doubt that I will really, really miss everybody and everything about my current job and the impact that it has the potential to have on blind and partially sighted people throughout the UK. But yeah, Paralympic sport has always been my passion, and I've held various non-executive roles in that space. And for me, it was a dream opportunity, really. With, the Paris Games coming up next year, and then on to Milan and Los Angeles and Brisbane over the next 8 years. But also, I played quite a key role, along with others, around the creation of the new 10-year strategy that the British Paralympic Association launched at the end of 2021, called Championing Change. And there are two prongs to that, one being sport and one being social impact. And I think it's, for me as a disabled person, it's really, really important that there are sort of collaborative objectives, not just about how disabled people are represented on the field of play through sport, but also in wider life.
I mean, obviously, at the Paralympic Association, you're looking at the elite level there, but the benefits of sport, you know, mental health, not just the physical health, inclusion, building all sorts of things like confidence and just making new friends, even, it has such an impact and can have a lot of improvements in all aspects of our lives.
Absolutely. Through the See Sport Differently work we're doing at RNIB, I was shocked at the findings around any form of leisure or grassroots or kind of sporting exercise or activity. So let's call it movement. In the wider public, it's 27% of people who don't do the minimum recommended NHS amount of movement every week. Across the blind and partially sighted cohort, it's 54%. And of course, there's lots of competing reasons for that. But one of the things that we all must be thinking about is how we can make that easier, how we can make that more possible. Because that double, that 27% gap there between the entire population versus the blind and partially sighted population, has all sorts of implications for well-being, for social interaction, for health. And yes, the British Paralympic Association is absolutely focused on selecting and funding the team that goes to the Paralympics. But it also has programs such as Parasport that is like a portal that enables people to find out local opportunities where disabled people can take part in sport. So there is a huge grassroots element to the work that the British Paralympic Association does. And of course, there will be those who want to pursue the elite pathway. There will be those who want to represent their country. But there is also a whole raft of people that don't want to do that. They just want to get involved, play sport, be involved in activities, socialize, whatever it is. That could be a yoga class. It could be a HIIT class, or it could just be going for a walk. And we need to be thinking about everyone. So yes, it is at the elite end in terms of the specific task, but the wider perspective around social change is a much wider brief.
The See Sport Differently campaign obviously complements that in a way and can possibly assist as well, because if you want to get into sport, if you're blind or partially sighted, it's finding somewhere where it has accessible facilities, or you know, the staff understand how to assist people with sight loss as well. And yes, you know, it could be just for fun, for leisure, for keep fit, but you know, from that accessibility, you could find more people who can rise to that elite level.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Our partnership with Sport England and also very much our partnership with British Blind Sport has been absolutely key to this in terms of the findings and the action we're taking. And you can look forward during this year to hearing lots more about those opportunities and how people can get involved. But the research actually has been very interesting. And in a very broad sense, it's shown us that there are lots of opportunities, but the engagement bridge needs to be built, because there may be lots of opportunities, but people are either not aware about them, or there are some barriers in the way of people taking advantage of those opportunities. So we're very, very keen to break down those barriers and ensure that people are able to take advantage of those opportunities. But on the other side of it, it can't just be about sport. You know, from a British Paralympic point of view, of course, our primary purpose is about sport, ensuring that people reach an elite level and they are medalists. And then that creates the real buzz around the sport that enables people to take the sport seriously at that elite level. But we can't just look at that aspect. We have to look at the wider lives that, disabled people experience. And that's about employment. It's about education. It's about health outcomes. It's about being able to use public transport safely as anyone else would. And so that's why the Championing Change strategy has those two strands to it. One is absolutely being the best we can be and putting the best team forward for the Paralympics. But with our voice and our brand and the kind of work we do, it would be disingenuous not to focus and not to partner with other organizations on those wider issues that our athletes face in other areas of their lives.
When you started playing football a few years ago, were you aiming for that elite level, or did you just want to play football?
So initially, I just wanted to play football. I was born in the northwest of England in a place called Wigan in 1970. At that time, it wasn't possible to play football as a blind person for your school, your town, your county, never mind your country. So I played for fun, and I was very well supported in that through my parents and through teachers who made that possible. My opportunity came at 25 years old when the international organizations got together and created the rules around blind football, which were then applied across the world. But until I was 25, I wasn't formally coached. And it's only because of my enthusiasm for the sport and for the support I got from others around me that I was in a position to take advantage of that when the opportunity arose. But I think the difference between my generation, Al, and current generations is that that wasn't a set pathway I could follow. The great thing now is you have choices. I was just hearing about a blind lad in my local area, 8 years old, lost his sight within the last year, super footballer, playing in the inclusive section of my local club, and able to follow a pathway of his choosing. If he wants to carry on doing that at a grassroots level, that's fine. If he wants to look at pursuing that at an elite level, that's fine, and the pathways exist. And where we've seen the progress is these pathways moving into the mainstream sports. For that pathway to exist within that club is an absolute game changer.
Well, we've got the IBSA World Games coming up this year. These guys are Paralympic hopefuls as well. I think it's goalball, football and judo. You've got the Paralympics coming up in Paris as well. So you're moving into a new post at a very busy time.
I certainly am. First of all, should take my hat off and show immense gratitude to Mike Sharrock, who is the previous CEO, who will be moving on from the organization. You know, he's managed the organization through a delayed games into Tokyo, through the COVID period and all that entailed, and has done an absolutely terrific job. For me, in many ways, the IBSA World Games and my involvement with that, then moving through to Paris is really interesting, because seeing those three sports competing in Birmingham for places at the 24 Paralympics is going to be amazing. And it's just going to be amazing for Birmingham and everyone surrounding Birmingham to be able to be part of that event. And of course, RNIB is the lead sponsor on that as well, which is really exciting. But there's no doubt that notwithstanding the proximity of Paris to the UK, there are of course always challenges in getting a team of around circa 300 athletes and 300 support staff where they need to be at the right time, prepared in the right way, funded in the right way, the relevant facilities for friends and family, hopefully inspiration programs, encouraging future athletes to want to get involved, and the whole thing that goes with that. So that's a challenge that I'm really, really looking forward to, though, because as an athlete, I benefited from the brilliant work the organization did. As a chair of the Athletes Commission, reporting into the BPA, I was able to influence that from an athlete point of view. And it truly is a dream job for me to be able to go in and influence that as a CEO and to ensure that our athletes get support they need to be the athletes they are, but also get the opportunity to speak up on really important issues to them that they face in their wider lives.
Well, there, I'm sure you'll be very much missed at RNIB, but we do wish you all the very best as you head off to the British Paralympic Association. We'll continue to hear from you regularly here, though, on the radio station. And thank you for joining us again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Al. My time at RNIB has been an absolutely amazing time. The best 5 years of my career, without doubt. And I wish you all the very best moving forward.